Let's pick it up then in Colossians 4. We're beginning our reading today at verse 12. Colossians 4, beginning at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. All right, now here we have three more of Paul's fellow workers: Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. So let's make a few background notes in reference to these colleagues of Paul. First of all, Epaphras. Pronunciation is probably that way. Epaphras, although he's also called Epaphras. This is not the Epaphroditus of Philippians, however. This is a different man. What do we know about him anyway? Well, he was from Colossae. Notice, one of you. And also remember chapter 1, verse 7, he was mentioned there. As you have also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Colossians 1, 7. Epaphras is the one who had brought news of how the church at Colossae was doing, as well as he brought news of the danger of the false teaching that was there. In Philemon, verse 23, he's mentioned as a fellow prisoner with Paul. So, as we were mentioning in our last session, like Aristarchus, Epaphras must have most likely volunteered to be a prisoner with Paul there under house arrest so that he could help the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't be surprising if he and Aristarchus were both secretaries for the Apostle Paul and rotated as Paul would dictate and so forth. But they voluntarily made themselves prisoners there with Paul in that house arrest situation. So he sends greetings. Maybe it went like this. Maybe Aristarchus was writing as Paul was dictating, and Epaphras calls over, "Hey, say hello for me," you know, writing to the Colossians. "Send greetings from me." As far as we know, Epaphras was not a great teacher or great preacher, but he was a great prayer. Notice what it says. He always prayed for the Colossians. He labored in prayer. He fervently prayed. He always fervently labored in prayer. Why? What for? So that the Colossians would be mature, stand perfect. That's the idea, mature and complete in all the will of God. Well, how did Paul know this? Anyway, how did Paul know that Epaphras was a fervent prayer? Well, he heard him pray there in that prison situation. Remember, it's a house arrest. Paul can have fellow workers there and so forth. But they would have had their, let's say, their daily prison prayer meeting. Probably officially, quote unquote, would pray at least three times a day. And Paul would hear Epaphras pray, labor in prayer fervently for the Colossian believers. And I'm sure Epaphras labored in prayer for the Colossians in his personal prayers as well. Can you imagine the Roman guards, by the way, as they would come on their 6 to 8 hour shifts, you know, of guard duty, chained to the Apostle Paul, and they'd be sitting there while they're having this prayer meeting. And I'm sure Epaphras prayed fervently for the guards as well. And we know from Philippians, one of the other prison epistles that Paul wrote from this same situation, that these guards did hear the gospel. Philippians 1:13 says that the whole Praetorian Guard or Palace Guard had come under the sound of the gospel. So many of them probably believed as well. All right, how about Luke? Let's take a background note here from Luke. What do we know about Luke here? Luke, the beloved physician. Well, we know he's a doctor. All right, he's the beloved physician. We also know he's a Gentile, because you remember back in verse 11, Paul had said that Justus, Aristarchus, and Mark, they were the only ones of the circumcision. So Luke is a Gentile. We also know that Luke joined Paul on a second missionary journey in Acts 16 and verse 10. You have the beginning of the we passages. By that, I don't mean small passage, W-E-E, but the we passage, W-E. In other words, up until this point in the book of Acts, Luke, who's writing the book, talks about they did this, they did that. Then finally, when you come to Acts chapter 16, verse 10, now you pick up, we sought to go to Macedonia. From there on, it's we. So Paul is joined by Luke then on the second missionary journey. Probably Luke joins as his personal physician, and he's been with Paul ever since. He was with Paul when Paul was in prison in Caesarea. He was with Paul on the ship voyage to Rome, Acts 27. And he's with Paul right until the end. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says that Luke is with me. So right up until the end. You remember 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul wrote from that second Roman imprisonment, soon after he was beheaded for the sake of Christ. Luke, then, is a great example of a faithful and productive Christian. We also know that he wrote most of the New Testament. If Paul did not write Hebrews, Luke wrote most of the volume of the New Testament. He wrote Luke and Acts, large books. Luke had a change of careers then. He went from a doctor to being a missionary, although he still used his physician skills and so forth. And maybe some of you can identify with Luke. I know I can identify with Luke because I've had kind of a change of careers. I was trained as an engineer and have changed, you might say, careers and full-time in the ministry. I'm very thankful for my background. Maybe God will have some of you change careers. Sometimes he works like that. Demas. Let's take one quick background note here about Demas. There's no commendation mentioned here for Demas. Maybe it's a foreshadowing of the coming desertion that would take place. Because when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we read that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. So Demas deserted. He didn't become a heretic. It's not that idea that he deserted the faith. But he deserted the Apostle Paul. Maybe he had a lucrative job offer in Thessalonica. We don't know. But Demas is not a model to follow. He's a deserter. And I trust there's no Demas's waiting to happen here in our audience this morning. Well, let's move then to a doctrinal point. And let's take it from what we read about Epaphras here. Epaphras, the great prayer. And here's the way we'll put it. Wrestling in prayer brings results. Wrestling in prayer brings results. This word, laboring fervently, this term, comes from the Greek word from which we get the word agonize. We saw the same word back at the end of chapter 1, the beginning of chapter 2. It's a word that could be used for struggle or striving in the athletic arena, as in wrestling. The word could even be translated wrestling. Well, that's why we've worded our doctrinal point this way. Wrestling in prayer brings results. Epaphras wrestled in prayer for the church at Colossae. And there were results. The Colossian believers did not capitulate to the false teaching. They continued to grow spiritually. Notice that Epaphras is a people prayer. He's not a plant or a program prayer. He's not praying that the Colossians would get a new church building or for the musical program there at Colossae, something like that. He's a people prayer. And notice, as a people prayer, he doesn't pray for their health, their physical health, or their material wealth, but for their spiritual growth, that they would stand mature, complete in all the will of God. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the church building and the church music program and for physical health and our material needs and so forth. But what a great model to follow in this doctrinal point wrestling in prayer brings results, and pray for people. In James 5:16, we read about Elijah there, and we read that the effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then we read the example of Elijah, verse 17 of James 5. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Why did Elijah pray fervently about the rain stopping and then the rain coming? Because he was concerned about the spiritual condition of the people of Israel. The law said, Deuteronomy 11 and Deuteronomy 28, that if God's people followed him, he would send the rain. If they did not, if they forsook the Lord, he would stop the rain. Elijah prays on that basis. He prays fervently. He wrestles in prayer. He's concerned about the spiritual condition of the people. He prays earnestly. He wrestled in prayer, and there were results. Elijah was concerned about the spiritual condition of the people, and that really brings us to a good practical application for us. Let's be people prayers like Epaphras. All right? That's the practical application. Let's be people prayers like Epaphras. When was the last time you wrestled in prayer, maybe even to the point of tears, for the spiritual growth of a fellow believer, a brother or sister in Christ? I mean, we pray about so many things. We pray about finances, our own finances, or the finances of the church or the ministry we're involved in. Nothing wrong with that. We pray about new programs, even about the weather for our picnics and for our outings. Nothing wrong with that. And God does answer these prayers. But when we pray for people, that's when we're people prayers. And notice, we want to be people prayers like Epaphras, not just pray for their physical health, nothing wrong with that, or their job situation, nothing wrong with that. But let's be people prayers like Epaphras. Pray for the spiritual growth of one another. Let's be real practical here. Why don't we take this assignment, each one of us? Let's begin praying earnestly, wrestling in prayer, even this very week, for a particular brother or sister. Some particular brother or sister that you know, their spiritual growth needed there. That could be all of us, right? But why don't we take on that assignment? To begin to be a people prayer like Epaphras and begin to pray earnestly, even wrestling in prayer for the spiritual growth of a fellow believer, a brother or sister in Christ. Pray that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The Lord loves to answer these kinds of prayers. And what a blessing it is to us when we see these kinds of prayers answered. Let's all of us try to be more like Epaphras. Let's be people prayers like Epaphras, praying for the spiritual growth of one another.